Well, there's some interesting things going on in our texts this morning. And I always find it interesting that forgiveness and weakness end up together on the Sunday in the lectionary, which is interesting because our culture often equates forgiveness with weakness, which I think is peculiar. Because I think anybody who thinks forgiving people is for the weak has never done it. Because forgiving people is really hard. At least it is for me. And I've heard other people talk about how hard it is. But I think one of the things that we need to spend at least a little bit of time with is Paul and his talk about the weak and the strong. And it's important that we don't lose sight of the fact that what Paul's talking about here isn't a conflict in the church over good and evil. It's over how we interpret what's going on around in the world. It's almost a matter of taste. And this whole idea of weakness and strength is one that I'm a little leery of, because it's hard not to put ourselves either in judgment over other people, saying they're weaker than us, or to look at other people and put them on a pedestal that maybe they don't belong on, by saying that they're stronger than us. And so trying to tease out what Paul's getting at here with this weakness and strength has been a little bit tricky for me. But the thing that I come back to all the time is what determines right or wrong in this context. Because remember, we're not talking about sort of objective evil here. We're talking about things that are wrong for me that may or may not be wrong for you. Is the conviction that we have about the act, whatever it is. There are all kinds of things that other people can do that I cannot. And I suspect the reverse is true. As one of those people who, as a young person, made the foolish decision to try smoking and realized that it was very difficult to make that go away at the end, there is nothing on earth that prevents many people, if for some reason they're in a play, They're in something where they need to smoke a cigarette. And so they do, and it's fine. That's okay for them. For me, that is absolutely wrong. Because I find it very hard to believe that I would be able to smoke one and not be thrown back into the throes of an addiction that I escaped back in 1986. Well, okay, I didn't actually escape until a few years after that. It was a long row. But what we're talking about there is that things that are right and wrong in this context are very much personally driven. That's something I can't do, is something as, I mean, smoking in some ways is a bad example because really nobody should. I don't think we have any guarantees that one won't do you some damage, but still, any of those things that you can do that I can't, means that this is something that I perhaps need help with. And I think one of the reasons why Paul uses the language of strength and weakness is that the people who are now helping me get to do it from a position of strength rather than a position of rightness and wrongness. When we look at his examples, one person's faith allows them to eat everything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Well, and this isn't like the whole vegetarian, non-vegetarian fight that we're having today, or the vegan everything else fight that is showing up here and there. I mean, back then, what the issue was is that most meat available in the market was meat that was left over from a sacrifice to some idol. Because, you know, the sacrifice was made, and then you have to do something with the rest of the ox. You don't always burn it all to pieces. You burn it down to ash. So what do you do with the rest of it? Well, some of it goes to the priest, and we see this in the Jewish faith, but in other religions as well. Some of it went to the priest or whoever was in the temple, then the rest of it went somewhere. Maybe some of it was given away, but then some went into the market where it was sold. And you may or may not be able to tell where this meat came from. And so for some people, they were so concerned about the possibility that they might have that they might eat meat that was offered to an idol. They just said, forget it, I'm not going to eat meat at all. I'm only going to eat vegetables. I will be a vegetarian, not because of any other issue than this. I just don't want to take that risk. And other people said, idols are nothing, I don't care. I was just listening to Jeremiah on my way here. And there's that passage in Jeremiah about how somebody takes a piece of wood and, you know, knocks it into the shape of an idol. And there it is, it's an idol. Well, it's just something, and takes the rest of the wood and makes it into, you know, turns it into firewood or something. You know, there are some people who just looked at it from that perspective and said, an idol is nothing, I don't care. You know, the fact that this was sacrificed somewhere is meaningless because the idol is nothing. That ceremony was nothing. This is just a good piece of ox or whatever it might have been. Paul is saying that the conviction of what this means is the issue here. There is no objective one way or the other with some meat you buy in the market. But for some people, for someone who has said, I don't trust where this comes from, and I don't want to support or in any way endorse the sacrifice idols, so I'm not going to eat meat. Paul says, if somebody's like that, you need, if you are stronger, you need to use that strength to let them be who they are. To let them do what it is that they want to do and not look down on them. And the person who eats vegetables can't look down on the person who eats meat either, because these are convictions about individual behavior that aren't forbidden one way or the other in Scripture, because as I said, we're not looking at evil versus not evil. All of these things, we know many more. Paul talks also about one person considers one day more sacred than another, and someone else says every day is the same. God made them all, it doesn't matter. I think part of what Paul is doing is trying to give us a heads up that human beings like arguments, for better or worse, and this is just another place that we can get all bound up in fighting over things that really don't matter. And if it takes us looking at these from the perspective of strength and weakness to enable us to be able to worship with other people and to allow other people to do what it is they're doing, then that's fine. Because Paul isn't saying that one of these is right and one of these is wrong. He's saying that we need to live in a community where we allow each other to be who we are. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to the Lord. And the one who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to the Lord. If we are doing what we're doing, because this comes from the conviction of our heart that this is what we should do, then it's fine. And when we're in community with people, one of the things that we need to do is we need to assume that people who are making these decisions are making them from that place of goodness within them, that they've looked at this and this is what they do. They've carefully thought this through and said, this is part of what it means for me to be in relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is that I do not shop on Sundays. Someone else who has that same relationship doesn't feel the same way. It doesn't mean that the two of them can then split a church over it. It means that we need to support each other and allow each other to do the things that make our faith work. Because so much of what it means to be a person of faith in a community is being open to other people's expression of that. We see that in worship patterns. There are lots of churches that have worship that is dramatically different than what we do here. Which is right? Well, there is no right or wrong here. In both places, in both congregations, in both services, people have gotten together to worship God through an authentic desire to worship God. And that's all that matters. And if one group or the other thinks they're stronger than the other or weaker, it really doesn't matter. Because if you're stronger, then you should condescend, if you will, to let other people do what they do. And if you're weaker, you should allow other people to do what they can do, which you can't as yet, if you want to put it in those terms. And no matter what, it's not supposed to be a matter of conflict. And yet, these things often are. One of the things that has helped me in this is that whenever I find myself thinking, okay, well, I guess I'm the stronger one here, so I better make sure I let this other person do it, is that, okay, maybe I'm the stronger one here, if we want to use that language, but I'm the weaker one in other areas. There are other things, there are other practices, there are other ways of living one's life that I can't do, but other people can. And if I want those people to allow me to not be able to do what they have freedom to, then doesn't make sense that I do the same for them. Because one of the things that Paul talks about in many different places, in many different ways, is the reminder that the body of Christ is one, but the parts of the body of Christ are not identical. They're different. We're all part of the same body, but there are different things that we do to nourish our own part of that body. And most of them are, honestly, a matter of choice. A matter of taste. I like hymns. I prefer hymns to most worship songs. It's a matter of taste. I don't look at worship songs and go, those are evil, because they're not. I just don't care for them particularly. But if I'm in a church that sings them, I sing along as best I can. I don't pull out a hymn book and start singing A Mighty Fortress Is My God over top of them just because it's a hymn book. Of course not. That's rude. It's unnecessary. That behavior is wrong. If we're going to be in community, the obvious community of this faith community, and then the larger of the municipal community, our friends and neighbors and that sort of thing, and then beyond that into all the communities we're parts of, a province, a country, a denomination, a movement, Protestants, Christians, like it just gets bigger and bigger. If we're going to be part of those, we need to remember that there's a huge diversity of ways of thinking. And that when we really look at most of the things that we disagree about, they're a matter of taste. And so if we're going to be weak one day, we might be strong the next, and no matter which way we are part of the community of faith that Christ died and returned to life for. Because he did that so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living, that he might be the Lord of all. And as Paul says, who are you to judge another when you have been brought into this community by Jesus? This is another one of these topics. I don't have this feeling that we need to rush out and repent a lot or anything. But it's another reminder, and it's a reminder to me, and hopefully it's useful for you if it's not a reminder, that for all the times that I think I'm the strong one, there's at least as many when I'm the weak one. And neither one is bad. They just are who we are. And as we live in community, and as we reach out to others, and as we allow other people to live the lives that God has called them to, we strengthen that community. Not by making rules that keep people out, but by allowing people to be who they are with us. Amen.